Good morning, it's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. With a big thank you to everyone who supported WIPR in this pledge drive. You keep us going. Thank you. Now, this morning's focus. About a third of all Americans have a criminal record, less than 5% for violent crimes. Some of the consequences of a criminal record are obvious, like fines, probation, jail time, and parole. Not as obvious are collateral consequences that affect employment, public assistance, housing, and voting rights. Several new laws take effect tomorrow that could allow Marylanders with criminal records to expunge or shield some parts of them from public view. One new law would also allow violations that are no longer crimes, like possession of small amounts of marijuana, to be removed from people's records. To tell us more about the new laws, we're joined by Karen Aslan, senior policy advocate at the nonprofit Job Opportunities Task Force. She's lobbied the legislature for these new laws. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Sheila.
And also with us is Danielle. She's 37, has seven children, and a criminal record for an arrest that resulted in no trial and no conviction. The offense occurred during a domestic violence dispute in 2002. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Sheila.
Well, let's start. Tell us how you ended up having a record in the first place.
I was in an abusive relationship, and during an attack, I fought back. And once the police arrived, they informed me that I would be arrested as well due to a new law at the time, which was around June 2002. And I was arrested and
charged with what?
Charged with two separate counts of deadly weapon with the intent to injure and one second-degree assault charge.
So were those felony charges?
Yes.
And what happened?
Well, I went to court a month later, and it was placed on stat.
Placed on stat means?
That means the indefinite postponement of the case.
Indefinitely postponed, okay.
And after that, I was told that if I were to break the law, get in trouble again, get charged, well, arrested and charged, that the state could pick up those previous charges and pursue a case, a trial against me, and I would be convicted.
But your understanding was that if you didn't have any further brushes with the law, those charges from 2002...
They were going to remain on my record. However, I had to stay out of trouble. That was what was explained to me.
And is that what happened?
Well, yes. I didn't get any trouble. However, the charges remained on my record. And each attempt that I made to have my record expunged was null and void. They said I was not able to expunge my record because I had violent felonies. And
the charges were violent felonies.
Yes.
You had not been convicted of violent
Never
felonies.
Convicted.
Let me ask Karen to walk us through the laws that take effect tomorrow and what that means for someone like Danielle.
Tomorrow, there are a number of laws that would allow individuals to restrict public access to their dated records. The Maryland Second Chance Act pertains to certain nonviolent misdemeanor convictions. These are offenses such as disorderly conduct, drug possession, prostitution. You were found guilty, and you can petition the courts to shield that information from public view.
Those are nonviolent misdemeanors.
Nonviolent misdemeanor convictions. You were found guilty. You were found guilty. Now, in Danielle's case, she's talking about what's considered a non-conviction. And this is really important to note because you think that individuals face barriers to employment and housing due to a guilty conviction. But what most folks don't, what they don't know is that it's actually a number of individuals that are struggling with non-convictions. And so in Danielle's case, she has a stet. She has three stetted cases that prevented her from getting her record expunged. She was not found guilty. As she mentioned, it was a result of a domestic violence incident. And so on Thursday, October 1st, one of the laws would allow individuals who have records for non-convictions, these are stets, dismissals, if your case was null prost, meaning that the state's attorney declined to prosecute, those offenses would become eligible for shielding, become eligible for expungement, regardless of any subsequent convictions for separate unrelated charges.
while the first category you talked about were misdemeanors, this could include felony charges.
Absolutely. This includes felony offenses, and it includes whether they are violent or nonviolent. What's important to note is that regardless of whether they're felonies or misdemeanors, violent or nonviolent, these individuals were not found guilty.
So you just made a slip of the tongue, which I think all of us who are not lawyers are having trouble keeping straight. What's the difference between shielding and expungement?
Shielding is different from expungement in that shielding retains access to the record for certain entities. So law enforcement would have access to shielded records, the courts, certain employers that by law have to access criminal background information, so daycares, hospitals, licensing boards, those entities would retain access to shielded records. So for instance, if I were to apply and were successful in having my record shielded, no one would have access to my record except those entities that I mentioned. Expungement is different from shielding in that no one has access to your record. Law enforcement, courts, no one has access to the record. The access is only allowed as a result of a court order.
That's Karen Aslan, Senior Policy Advocate at the Nonprofit Job Opportunities Task Force here on Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Danielle, a 37-year-old mother who has a felony arrest on her record, no conviction, from 2002. We're using just Danielle's first name for obvious reasons. And I'm trying to understand, so with this felony arrest, Danielle, are you looking at the possibility now with this new law of expungement or shielding?
Expungement.
Expungement.
Yes.
You're hoping to get this wiped off your
record. Absolutely.
Which you have not been able to do before. You've tried.
Not ever before.
What has been the impact on your life of having this? I mean, it's not a conviction. Many of us would think, okay, she wasn't convicted. It must not be having any impact.
A very negative impact, I would say. I have not been able to secure gainful employment with the record and my gap in employment history. The time that I last worked was so many years ago, and when they pull the record, that's a double whammy, you know. They're not gonna hire me.
How have you been keeping body and soul together if you can't get a job?
I utilize public assistance and various other means. I have a lot of skills and trades and gifts that I use to, you know, help support myself and my family.
And what will happen if you are able to get this arrest record expunged?
I will try to get every job in the world.
What kind of job do you intend to try to get?
I would like to work with youth and or ex-offenders in building leadership. Also, I would like to work with art. I'm also an artist. I love art. It's my passion. And my mind is like everywhere. I would like to cook, or I would like to babysit, or you know, go back to doing geriatric care. It opens the world up. I don't feel like I have this stigma and, you know, I have the free record to go along with it. I feel like a new person. It's like a rebirth.
And Karen, I just want to make sure I'm understanding. With expungement, then, if Danielle were to apply for jobs, say, in a child care center, that arrest, like it never happened.
It's like it never happened. And she does not have to disclose that she has expunged information.
The Maryland Chamber of Commerce opposed some of these bills. The argument was that employers need all the information they can get when they're hiring, and that this activity, even if there wasn't a conviction, goes to the character of the job applicant. Danielle, what would you say?
I don't agree with that. I think it may be a case-by-case issue where some people are not rehabilitated. They still struggle with issues from the act or, you know, what followed behind it. In my scenario, I was basically defending myself, you know, which still baffles me to this day. It really, it took everything from me.
every year in Annapolis, when we would travel to Annapolis to advocate to get these bills passed, you had grown men and women that would break down at the hearings to say they just want to be able to support their families like everyone else. And they're not able to do that if a criminal record from years ago, especially if it's a criminal record where you weren't even found guilty, if this non-conviction, if this instance is preventing me from being able to be the citizen, the productive citizen, the good parent, the good community leader that you are expecting of me, then you have to make sure that I have access to those same opportunities like everyone else does.
And so what do you say to employers who say, it's tough to make hiring decisions. We need all the information we can get.
To be clear, I don't think that this is an instance of us telling or government telling businesses how to run their business. We would never want to present employers or require that employers have to undergo an arduous process in terms of determining who would be ideal employees. But what we are trying to articulate to employers and to the public in general is this idea that if I've served my time, and if I've paid my debt after a certain period of time, you should be able to judge me based on merit, based on what rehabilitative steps that I've taken since I've committed that offense, and what skills I can bring to the position at which I'm applying. As Danielle mentioned, it's really important for employers to look at individuals on a case-by-case basis and determine if whether or not their prior offenses are relevant to the job at hand, whether or not it's serious enough to endanger the individuals on their workplace, and whether or not it's going to prevent the employees on the workplace or the prospective employee from really being able to ensure that the business is productive. So we want to make sure that employers have the information that they need, but having access to a full background check does not mean that will determine whether or not that individual is an ideal employee. You have to take other factors into account.
I really appreciate your walking us through it. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Danielle, a mother and artist who plans to pursue expungement of the felony arrest on her record. Karen Aslan is senior policy advocate at the nonprofit Job Opportunities Task Force. JOTF and several other partners are holding a clinic tomorrow to answer questions about shielding and expungement. It's at New Psalmist Baptist Church in Northwest Baltimore, accessible by subway and bus. More information at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, author Daniel James Brown. Stay tuned to 88.1.